Blog Talk Radio.
Tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministries, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. We do thank you for tuning in. For those who are listening by internet, if you would like to call in, the call-in number is 347 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. We are a Bible interactive study. And what does that mean? That means that we're an interactive Bible study. We love to interact with you. In fact, we love to interact with one another. That's what it's all about, encouraging one another through communication. Amen. Through the gift that God has placed in each and every one of us.
Amen.
We're going to have prayer, and then after we have prayer, then we're going to go into our scriptures. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you to just to expound on your word. I pray, Father, Lord, that anything that's said, Lord, is pleasing to you, Father. We ask, Heavenly Father, that your words would be increase into our faith. There would be increase into our walk, increase in all the things that we do. Father, we know that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. And we just give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness. We have our title this evening is An Increase in Faith. An Increase of Faith. Amen. An Increase of Faith. And we're coming from the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew, 8th chapter, starting at the 5th verse. And we will be ending on the 14th verse. Amen. An Increase of Faith. And the Bible,
Matthew 8.
Amen. Matthew 8. Yeah, would you like to read the Word of God?
Amen.
Mark 5:8-5.
When Jesus arrived in Capernaum, a Roman army captain came and pled with him to come to his home and heal his servant boy, who was in bed, paralyzed, and racked with pain. Oh, I'm reading from the Living Bible. Yes, Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Then the officer said, Sir, I am not worthy to have you in my home, and it isn't necessary for you to come. If you will only stand here and say, Be healed, my servant will get well. I know, because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers, and I say to one, Go, and he goes, and to another, Come, and he comes, and to my slave boy, Do this or that, and he does it. And I know you have authority to tell his sickness to go, and it will go. Jesus stood there amazed. Turning to the crowd, he said, I haven't seen faith like this in all the land of Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles, like this Roman officer, shall come from all over the world and sit in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and many an Israelite, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, shall be cast into outer darkness,
Amen.
Into the place of weeping and torment. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, Go on home. What you have believed has happened.
Amen. And in the book of Matthew, as being as a collector of Capernaum, he was engaging in taxes from people like Peter. So that was his job, was just collecting taxes. And when Jesus called the discipleship, later on he appointed one of the 12 apostles, which was considered Matthew. The early church was identified as the first book of the New Testament as the gospel according to Matthew. Now, when we get into the word of the word, and when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking help. Now, what we're going to do is I would like to exegetically break down scriptures so that we can get a clear interpretation of what is being said. Now, the beauty of it is we are an interactive Bible study. We are an interactive Bible study. And basically what we do is we open up our mics for an opportunity to just communicate in terms of what does the Lord says to each one of us. And it becomes an interactive discussion as we just trail on the Word of God. So that's basically, for those of you that's tuning in for the first time, that's really what we do. We just open it up and we just have an open dialogue. Amen? So that's where we're going at this point in time. And when we look at 5, it says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. And when I look at that part of where he came asking for help, my question to you is, I would like, as we go through this, for you to imagine your attitude and your response as we go through this. Just imagine going to Jesus and asking for help. When I think about that, I think about, isn't that what we go through today when we are having some type of situation that's out of our control, a situation that we don't know how to handle? The first thing that we want to do is we want to find someone who can help. Now, in today's society, what we may do is the first place we're going to go is to a doctor, someone that we feel that is going to give us some type of diagnosis that's going to help cure the ailment. Amen? And when I look at this, I look at when he goes to Jesus and asks for help. And he said, Lord, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. My servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Now let's look at this. Now it sounds as though when we look at when he's talking about my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Normally, during those times, someone who had a servant, if they were ill, the first thing that I think that's important is, are they going to go out and look for Jesus to heal them, to heal the servant? Paralyzed, suffering terribly. Would someone of authority go out to get Jesus? Now, in my mind, I would think that the authority in that position is going to have someone to go get a doctor to come to check on the servant. But here, it kind of turns where you see where it says that the centurion went looking for Jesus. That's the first part that I would like to just look at. He went looking for Jesus. So in my mind, the centurion was looking for Jesus because he felt that Jesus had authority to be able to speak into whatever situation was going on and make it okay. That's the first part. Someone in authority running out looking for Jesus. And here's the other part. Someone of authority, having as a servant, going out to look for Jesus so that the servant could be cured. That tells me that there was a relationship. In my mind, there was some type of relationship. There was something about the servant that the official, the centurion at this time, felt was special. To go above and beyond to find a cure. Not the doctor, but to the authority, to an authority that they that he felt that was going to make a difference. Now, when I think about when someone is paralyzed and suffering terribly, someone is paralyzed, to me that goes higher than a doctor. What do you think? Higher than a doctor, paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I go to a doctor, if I'm paralyzed, that tells me that I'm going to, it's going to be some time before before I am cured. Now, if I have a headache or if I'm laying ill and I have a fever, that's one thing. But the servant was paralyzed. Now imagine, that means there is a loss of one's faculty, that he could not function, and not only that, but was in deep agony, suffering terribly. That is one of the first points that I would like to bring out in terms of the centurion going in search for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then we move on. It says, Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. And Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? That is the next part that I would like to exegetically just break up. When Jesus ask the question, what do you think? When I ask you a question, that means that I'm asking for a response. But here it is, we're talking about a man who was considered to have authority to be able to create miracles as a healer, to make miracles happen. And Jesus said, shall I come and heal him? So as we move on into the scripture, and it gets even, it just climaxes, but I think that that's the beginning of the climax. When Jesus said, shall I come and heal him? Meaning that if you don't want me to come and heal him, then I can take authority for where I am.
Well, I think that the captain told him that he knew that he could that he was the authority.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much in this scripture, the scriptures that we just shared,
mm-hmm.
that the captain told Jesus, I know that you could do it.
Mm-hmm.
I already know that you could do it, and I don't think you need to even be there.
Mm-hmm.
That you can just send your word.
Amen.
That you can send your word, you can pray it. And he's saying that I know that when I speak words to my servants and those that are under me, that they do as I say. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Even if he sends the word through somebody else, they're going to do what he says.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows that Jesus, being a healer, can just send his word, because the healing is supernatural and the word is supernatural.
And that's a key point there. And I think that's a key point when you talk about, when we look at the centurion, because of his position, he understood what authority was.
And you know what else? He understood who Jesus was, too, because if you look at
mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, Matthew, go to the beginning of Matthew, because this is where Jesus starts touching the untouchable, the people nobody wanted to be bothered with, the holy folks, the Pharisees and Sadducees. You know, you're not supposed to, don't touch them, don't socialize with them. You know, you throw them tennis, they can glean from the side of the crops. They don't, there's no place for them in the temple. They had to, you had to pay to go to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had nothing to give, so they were, therefore they weren't important.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus was mingling with them. And if you go back to, wait a minute, go back to chapter 8, verse 3, Jesus touches a leper. Who touched a leper?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus touched a leper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was, in the old law, that was he was unclean. You weren't supposed to touch him. You weren't supposed to socialize with him.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. Jesus touches him and he says, be healed, period. Be healed.
Amen.
Be healed.
Amen.
And it tells him what to do with his healing.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
You know? So evidently, the Roman army captain had witnessed things like that. He witnessed them in verses 5 and 6. No, that's where the servant was. But even if you go down further, later on we come to Peter's house, too. And about the demon possession.
Mm-hmm.
But he witnessed it. So the centurion knew. So even when the Pharisees and Sadducees were angry with Jesus, didn't want him ministering on Sundays, didn't want him to heal anyone, which is absolutely crazy. Can you imagine being Lazarus and coming out and you're healed and they want to kill you because they don't want you to say that Jesus, you know, raised you from the dead. They're not celebrating the fact that here is the Messiah, that here is this man that is raising people that were definitely dead, stinking dead, rotting dead.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of celebrating, they want to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
They want to kill him. Make sure he's dead. Let's kill him again.
Yeah.
You know, let's make sure he's dead again so that he won't go and spread the news.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, these people, the Roman soldiers witnessed the healing.
Mm-hmm.
They witnessed raising from the dead. They witnessed people being delivered from demons.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew, regardless of whether those over the authority over them knew or not.
Yeah.
They were still obedient to them, but they knew what Jesus could do. So he said, you don't even have to come. My house isn't worthy of your visit. You know, my house isn't worthy of you. I'm not worthy of that. But could you heal my servant? Bend your word and heal my servant.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be there. We as Christians, we're running all over the world and running to everybody's service and everything. Well, we have a direct connection to the Lord. Right from our kitchen table, in the bedroom, next to our bed, on our knees, we have a direct connection to Him.
Amen.
To the Father ourselves. I don't have to send a petition. Yes, I have prayer friends. My prayer circle and whatever. But you can send the word.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm excited. Send the word.
That's good. That's good.
Actually, you're moving further the scripture. You know, that is toward the end.
You know, you gotta put the stop sign. I get excited.
Any comments?
And it's good what Elvis. It's good what Elvis is saying, because it goes and it coincides with your topic, an increase of faith. And that's what the centurion had. He had faith and confidence in the man that had the authority, because just like the elder said, that they saw these things that Jesus did in his travel, what he did, what he showed. And his confidence and his faith was built so much that he didn't go to the doctor, but he went to the source. He went to the authority that knew that if he just spoke a word, his servant would be healed.
Amen.
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 So what you're saying is so relevant, and it coincides with Pastor's topic. I mean, it was good how you brought that out, you know, because they saw it. it increase. You know, sometimes people have to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people have to see things.
Mm-hmm.
And some and what that does is it builds their faith, or they know that God can do it. Knowing that He can do it, I don't. My faith is where it needs to be now. So my confidence kicks in, knowing that if I go to this man, it shall be done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what
Amen.
Jesus did, and that's what the centurion did.
Amen.
He went right to the source.
Amen. Right to the source. Amen.
Right to the source.
You know what, I also think it's interesting, too, just like today, you mentioned the doctors. When we go to the doctor, we're not going for healing. We're going for relief from whatever is bothering us. When we take something to mask pain or something, and usually drugs that also have other interactions and other, you know, other issues that develop because of taking that drug, and then you have to take another drug for the complications of the one.
So true.
So we're looking for relief from pain. We're looking for a break from whatever the symptoms are. When you go to the womb, you can go and expecting healing.
Mm-hmm.
You can go expecting healing. The doctor doesn't heal you. The doctor cannot heal you. He cannot. He'll make you comfortable. He'll give you relief. He'll mask it. You know, mask whatever it is. Give you what you need in order to function. You know, to function. But he cannot heal you. Only Jesus Christ can heal you.
Mm-hmm.
Only Jesus. So I think that that's interesting that he, this man, went for healing. He didn't go for a potion. He went in your word. Give me nothing to rub on.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to give me no pills to take and nothing to drink. Just in your word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and any more comments? For those of you tuned in, we're in Matthew 8. Matthew 8, and we started at the fifth verse, and we're going to end on the 13th verse. Amen. Just so you can read the book of Matthew, and our topic is increase of faith. Now, when we went through this, we talked about in terms of where the centurion came asking for help. And that was the first part we talked about. And then we went and we talked about in terms of where the centurion talked about what was the problem. The problem was that his servant was paralyzed and suffering terribly. And then we went on and with the question, Jesus didn't say, I'm coming right away. He asked the centurion, shall I come and heal him? But get this, when we get to the next verse, in the eighth verse, the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you to come under my roof. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. That sounds to me like it was a conviction where it says, Lord, I do not deserve. When I say that I don't deserve something, that means that I have a guilty conscience about whatever it is that I'm doing. I have a guilty conscience about whatever it is or whatever situation I'm in, I feel like I've messed up somewhere that I'm not going to do what I deserve. Or I'm unclean or whatever the case may be. But it says here, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. But here's where the difference lies. It says, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. Meaning that I know that you have the authority to be able to speak into existence whatever's going on and make it right.
Amen.
And it goes on, and it even says, it says, just say the word, and it'll be healed. And then he talks about in terms of understanding authority. See, everybody does not understand authority.
That's right.
And when this is broken down, it's talking about the centurion, and then it goes into the part it says, for myself live under authority. Now he talks about authority. Why? How he understands authority with his soldier under me. He's saying that I can tell one, go, and he goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell another, and another will go. And that one will go. He will go or he will come. And he says, I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. So just that little scripture right there talks about how much authority that the centurion had. So he understands authority. But what he did was he recognized that Jesus had authority also. Now, you can't go anywhere in the Bible, and we want you to do that, and look where someone says, just say the word. And I know whatever it is that I'm thinking is going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's nowhere in the Bible you can find that. Just say the word from where you are. The majority of the situations that we look at in the Bible, they're asking Jesus to come. Come with me. Follow me so that you can touch him, so that you can do whatever you do, but you have to be right there with him. And that's why I want to get into the power of this piece here. The power of this piece here. And the centurion, I do not deserve to be under my roof, but say the word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Now, here's when Jesus heard this. You would think from our carnal mind that someone talking about the authority that they have, that they're kind of bragging. They're bragging. Now, think about it. When someone is telling you all that they're able to do at a command, the authority that they have, it sounds like they're boasting. They're boasting about their authority.
Mm-hmm.
They're boasting about their qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
They're boasting about, you know what, I'm above everybody else. I'm not like you.
Amen.
I'm not like you. I have a greater authority than you can even imagine because I can do this. I can do this. And if I tell one man to go tell another to go, that person will go. Why? Because of who I am. So it sounds like they're boasting. But look at this in verse 10. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. He was amazed. No, he wasn't amazed because he felt that the centurion was boasting, but he said, to those following me, to the Gentiles following me, I want you to look at this. I want you to see this. He said, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith.
Amen.
Wait, think about this. Jesus was amazed. I have not found anyone in Israel. I'm not talking about those who's in the circle, who's following me. I'm not talking about the one who's asking for help, but he announces in Israel, in all of Israel. That means that if you look at the individual, Jesus is saying, I have not found one person who has that much faith to say, give me the word, and it's done. And it's done. Now, I want to stop there for a minute. And the reason that I want to stop there is because an increase in faith, an increase of faith, my brothers and my sisters, I truly believe that that's where Jesus wants us.
Amen.
That's where he wants us. Meaning that when you, if you have that situation that you're going through, that when you pray, believe that it has been done,
Amen.
You trust your Father, whatever that situation is, believe that it has already been done. Now, if you look at think of this scripture, there was nothing that said that where the centurion felt that it was going to happen immediately. He didn't know when it was going to happen. He just knew it was going to happen. Just say the word. He knew it was going to happen. He recognized the authority, and guess what? My brothers, my sisters, he had no doubt. This scripture talks, it says nothing about the centurion having doubt. All he said was, I'm not worthy enough for you to come to my house, but if you say it at a distance, it shall be healed. Isn't that where God wants us?
Amen.
Isn't that where he wants you and I? To the point that what we believe. Have you ever heard that old saying, I know that I know that I know? Shadow of a doubt, my brother, my sister. Whatever you're going through, get rid of that doubt. Get rid of that doubt. Because right now it's time to take it to another level, an increase of faith. I believe in what he said.
Amen.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Talking about to Jesus. Hey, listen, think about it. The word says you have not because you ask not. That's one thing to ask just to be asking, but it's another to ask in believing that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jesus wants us. I don't care what situation that you've gone through. I don't care what has happened in your life. God, listen, God wants us to have favor. He wants us to have favor. Amen? He wants us to have favor. Open up the mics. I'm going to open up the mics if there are any comments. But you know we'd like to hear from you. Any comments? Amen. Moving on, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and he said to those following him, I truly tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say it to you, many of you will come from the east and the west, and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the kingdom of heaven.
And you know what? Even that scripture here in verse 10 is saying, see, people think that the Israelites inhabited, that they were the holiest
mm-hmm.
people, and that
mm-hmm.
they knew the word closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
They knew that they were the chosen people and walked in arrogance.
Right.
But they didn't have the faith. So to say that even in Israel, that here's this Capernaum Roman army captive who has more faith than anyone in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get it wrong. Just because those folks are trying to act like they're holy doesn't mean that they're holy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody
mm-hmm.
who believes and that they're faithful doesn't, you know, it's a heart thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an outwardly
mm-hmm.
work thing that you appear mm-hmm. to be.
Mm-hmm.
Not.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing about this is saying that, and not just him, but people outside of Israel are going to be are with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob also. All of them knew Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All of them knew who that was. So to say that you can be with them too, even though you're a Gentile, even though you're not rich,
mm-hmm.
even though you're not in the winner circle with the Pharisees and Sadducees, that you can be with that group too.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the faith, if you believe.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Only if you believe. Only if you believe. Only if you have an increase of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I like when the excuse me, when the centurion said that, just speak the word. I'm just regressing a little bit. Speak the word. His faith, and you were talking about, you know that you know that you know. It was a done deal to him. His faith in Jesus was, he spoke it. Now I don't have to worry about it no more. It's a done deal. So I'm resting in knowing that already, I haven't seen it yet, but my servant is healed. Because the man of authority has already spoken it. That's powerful.
Amen.
That's powerful to have that faith. That's powerful to trust and believe. And that's where we are now in these days and these times. God wants us to trust him. He said, trust me. And when we come into that trust, we come into rest. We rest from the things and the cares of the world, knowing that his word that he's spoken over us will not go back void. If he said a thing, he shall do a thing. And that's
Amen.
What that centurion was believing and trusting.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I always say the Bible is a roadmap, and all we have to do is follow it.
Yes.
All we have to do is follow it. That means that if the Bible says it, then that's what we do.
Yes.
Follow it. Amen. We don't take a left. We don't take a right. We just go straight. Follow the word of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Gabriel. Now here it says, but the kingdoms we talked about in terms of everyone sitting with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then it goes on in the thirteenth verse. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done, just as you
believed.
A powerful piece right there. Now think about that, my brothers and my sisters. When you pray to the Father, and the Father gets it, what he says is, go, let it be done just as you believe. He's talking to you, and he's talking to me. When you come to me, and once I give it to you, go and let it be done just as you believed.
Amen.
Now here is the climax of it all. Here's the climax of it all. The key to it all is, once you go and it has been done, then that becomes a testimony. That's the core of this whole scripture. It becomes a testimony to others. Someone said earlier that sometimes people have to see it. But here it's saying that people have to hear
believe
it.
Believe it. Hear it and believe it.
Amen? You have to hear it. You have to hear it before you believe it.
Amen.
Rather than believe, you have to hear it, and then there's a shift. Then you believe. Unfortunately. But I'm telling you that when you get in that situation, when you put God first, when you go to God and know without a shadow of a doubt that God is able to take care of your situation without any doubt. That means that God can take care of where he is. And that's the hardest part of believing. Things that you can't see. Things that you can't see. That's the greatest of it all. It's when you can ask for it and knowing that it's going to happen without even seeing it. It's not like someone's over there and someone's getting healed and you run over and say, heal me, please do the same for me. Please do the same what you just did or the other. No. It's not saying that. It's saying that before it even happens, that you believe that it's already been done. That's that increase of faith. That's what God wants us, that increase of faith, that when we ask for, we believe it has already been done. And the climax of it is after Jesus heals you, after Jesus does, answers your prayer, then tell somebody about it. But that's where we are right now. We should be a living testimony. This is just something that happened. My question to you, think about the things that have happened in your life where Jesus, and you know without a shadow of a doubt, that it was God and God alone. See, because God wants to believe. God does not want to compete with anything or anyone. God wants to believe. So sometimes it doesn't happen right away because God wants to know without a shadow of a doubt that it was nobody but God. It was nobody but God. And when you put that in your spirit that it was nobody but God, then what you're supposed to do is go and tell it. Someone else. That increase of faith, of believing that what just happened, you know what? I got to go tell somebody else about it. I'm not going to keep it to myself. I'm not going to keep it to myself. I can't hold it. I can't. An increase of faith. Any comment? Any comment? The title is An Increase of Faith. And my brothers and my sisters, right now, I'm putting that challenge, I'm throwing that challenge on me. An increase of faith, taking it to another level. Another level. God has given us the authority. Just like he did the centurion left, and the centurion went and spoke to that paralyzed person. Spoke to that paralyzed person, and they, that person became healed.
Amen.
That's where we are. Jesus used one human being and healed. He used the centurion through his word. Through his word, all he had to do was speak the word, and it happened. He just followed the rain. Jesus had given him the authority. He spoke it into existence. He spoke it to Jesus. And that's what I'm saying to you. When Jesus said that it's done, tell it is being done. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Any comments as we come to a close? I'm looking at a few numbers on here and I don't hear any comments, but that's okay. That's okay.
Well, hey. Okay, I just tuned in. I really didn't know the topic, but it seemed like it's about faith.
Yeah.
And we know, I don't know exactly everything you said, but it is true that we must have that strong faith. And we have to have, it's just what we have that faith in. If we have it in God, we know that whatever we do, that we can trust him. But having faith in man sometimes will disappoint you. But when you have trust in God, God's going to bring the right people into your lives so you won't be disappointed. Mm-hmm. And so we have to trust him every day because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I'm learning that no matter what the outcome is, I still have to trust God because you still don't know what God is going to do because he's full of surprises. Sometimes you think that things won't come through, But then God shows you it's not this way, it's another way that he wants
mm-hmm.
whatever you're looking for to come through.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trusting God more and more every day, and I ask him to help me to have more faith in you.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that desire to trust you no matter what. So the more I think about and read about faith, and how in Hebrews about faith, all those people that had faith in God, that even when they didn't see things during their lifetime, they prayed for their children. They might not have, sometimes you don't see those things, but it still comes through, because we don't know when God is going to show up and show out. We just have to trust him.
Amen.
And he doesn't want us to make it so hard either, our faith, because he said that if we have faith as a mustard seed. And, you know, I heard a preacher say one time, he said, you know, take a pepper. He said, take pepper and then just shake it. He said that little, it was a preacher that was on the radio. He said that little bit right there is all we need. Because
mm-hmm.
sometimes the circumstances around us seems astronomical, but God is telling us, just trust me. The faith, just know that my word won't go back void, and the faith that you have in not just me, but the word that I've spoken will come to pass.
Well, amen. His promise is in his word, and so God is not a liar, and we know he is the truth. That's what he is. He is the truth.
Yeah,
so we have to stand on the truth of his word and his promises.
Amen.
So when you really get into having a committed relationship, a close relationship, instead of a casual or when I need relationship, you will see the difference. Standing God's word and being committed and walking with him and talking with him every day makes a whole lot of difference than a casual Christian. We have to be strong in the faith and in his mighty power. And his mighty, not our mighty power, his mighty power.
Amen.
So I just thank God for being the God that I serve, and I thank him that I can depend upon him at any time. And like I said, I seem like I have this up and down sick spell, feeling good one week and then can't hardly walk with it, arthritis or whatever. But I said, God, you know, I'm trusting you.
Amen.
I'm walking by faith, because I can't walk by sight. If I walk by sight, I might fall over.
Amen.
God is a great, gracious God, a merciful God, a powerful God, a sovereign God, a God that I love. And so I don't mind telling people about my God. And, you know, my God, he's a great God.
Yes, he is.
Amen. We're going to close of the hour. Are there any more comments?
Pastor Clay, I would like your email address. I got your telephone, but I would like your email address. So this is Minister Washington, Dr.
Amen.
Minister Washington.
Amen.
So if you have a chance to either call me or send me your email, okay? Text me.
Amen. Amen. For those of you that listen, whatever was said was that we were able to minister to you just where you were. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Just where you that's
Amen.
What we thought. Even though that this is an interactive Bible study, we're online, and we have so many from different cities and so many from different states. God is able to do a job beyond anything that we can even think of or anything that we can ask for. Amen.
Right.
And that's
Amen.
The beauty of it. It's where you are. God's
Amen.
Word is still the same. Amen. So we pray that for those
Amen.
Of you listening by email, amen, that a word was said that was encouraging to you, for you. Amen. And if you're going through any situations, we just pray that, that there's an increase of faith, an increase of faith. Don't doubt God. Amen. Don't put God in a box. Amen. Don't put him in a box. Don't put him in a corner, because God is a big God, and he's able to do things. But the thing is, God has his own time for doing it. Amen. What you go through becomes just an experience. Amen. God has given us the authority. He has given us the authority to be able to speak into those things. Amen. And keep in mind that the enemy wants to kill and destroy, tear you down. Amen. And we're here to build each other up. Amen. Because in these times, in these business, sometimes we get tired and weary. Amen. So we just come as a reminder of who we are in Christ. Amen. Close us out in prayer.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just praise you, Lord, and thank you.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord,
thank you, Father.
On evening, Father God. We thank you, Lord, and we pray, Father God, that we have rightly divided to you, Father God, and ministry to your life, Father God. We thank you, Father, that you have blessed all the listeners, those in real time, Father God, and those that are listening from the archives, Father God. We thank you, dear Lord, that all it takes, Father, is your word to come forth in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And healing will take place, Father God.
Yeah.
We thank you, Father, that we can pray and believe and have faith, Father God, that even though we don't see it, Father God, that lets us know that it's there. We thank you, Father God, that we pray on earth, Father God. What we loose on earth is loosed in heaven, Father God. And we praise you for that. We thank you, Father God, that you have trusted us, Father God, as your children, dear Lord, that we can use your word and use the authority of Jesus' name, Father God, and minister to one another, Father God, and that is such an awesome privilege. So right now, I just lift up my sister, Father God, who said that she has symptoms, Father God, of arthritis, I believe it was.
Yes.
It's free of pain right now in the name of Jesus.
I thank you, Lord, for
comfort, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that as she lays down to rest this evening, Father God, that the rest, Father God, will be sweet and rejuvenative, dear Lord. Lord, that she feels different, that she feels, Father God, that she's fighting, Father God. And Father God, expectation, dear Lord, that we will get a praise report next week on the radio. A praise report saying, Father God, that my sister, Father God, has been relieved of the pain.
Thank you, Jesus.
Of arthritis, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that you're killing God, Father God, that in each stripe, God, was for our healing. God, or for our affirmities. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you this. Father God, you are Jehovah Rapha, our healer, dear Lord, and we ask you for healing. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, we stand on the words that have gone forth, dear Lord. We know that we can lay all our cares at your feet, Father God, because you care for us, God. And it is not our intention to pick them up, Father God. Those feet spirits, bound, Father God, and sealed right now in the name of Jesus, that there'll be no retaliation for them or my sister in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
dawn.